when your revenue depends on the sale of job listings and the unemployment rate goes from 3.5% in 1 month to, in some places, 15% or higher the next month, it has a big, big effect on your revenue. And so we've been dealing with that since March. And I know we're going to talk about what has happened on a daily basis and the steps we've taken to address it.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made six career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 189 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. Last week, I played the second part of the audio session where I brought in Gary O'Neill and David Hewen into the Career Pivot membership community to discuss what's going on in the world of HR and hiring. Next week, I will interview Mark Miller. That is M-A-R-K. Kay Miller, of the Retirement Revised newsletter and podcast. Mark is a good friend and colleague and writes for the New York Times and many other major outlets. A lot of our generation will either choose to retire or be forced into retirement by the COVID-19 pandemic, and I wanted to get Mark's take on the situation. This week, I interview Mac Pritchard, who is the owner of MaxList, which is a specialty job board in Portland, Oregon, and the host of the Find Your Dream Job podcast. Mac is a small business owner, and I spoke with him about how he is surviving the COVID-19 pandemic, and I wanted to hear about his resilience in getting to the other side. However, before we get to this week's episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the approximately 50 members who are participating in this project to grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out. This is a group of like-minded souls where over half are over 60 and a third are over 65, are working together to figure out what to do in the second half of life and then make it happen. I've priced this very affordably. For anyone, do not let financial considerations get in the way of checking this out. I am recruiting new members for the next cohort. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. And before we get to the episode, I have a special announcement. A sad one. I interviewed Gene Snyder in episode 184 about his transition from being a mining engineer to being a small business consultant. You can hear in his voice he was having a blast doing this. You can find that episode at careerpivot.com/episode-184. I am sad to say Gene passed away on August 6th of 2020. After a very short illness. Gene was such a valuable member of the Career Pivot community. He was a generous soul with his time, expertise, and experience. This has shaken me up as well as others in the community. Gene attended the Start a Business or Entrepreneurship Mastermind Group meetings over Zoom every Tuesday. It was the highlight of his week, and we loved him dearly for his support. Gene was 71 years old, and I'm going to do a blog post about Gene in the next week. As one of the things that's shaken me up is he goes from having a blast to suddenly passing away. Do not delay in doing things you don't want to do and following your passions and your dreams, particularly at this stage of life. Now on to the interview with Mac Pritchard. Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast. I have the real joy of having Mac Pritchard on, who owns a business called MaxList, and he is a legend in the career podcasting space with Find Your Dream Job podcast. Mac, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks, Mark, and thanks for that wonderful introduction. That's very kind of you.
Well, you are a legend in the career podcasting space. Everybody knows Mac.
Well, we've got some listeners, but there's always room for improvement, Mark. It's my Midwestern modesty coming through here. So,
okay. I wanted Mac on because Mac has a business and he's surviving this thing called a pandemic. Mac, why don't you tell some of the background behind is the history behind your business?
Well, I run a website. It's called maxlist.org. And the revenue comes from the sale of job listings, Mark. We're based in Portland, Oregon. We serve employers and job seekers in Oregon and Washington. We've been doing it now as a business for about 10 years. It began really as something much simpler. I was sharing job postings with professionals because I'd learned through two long periods of painful unemployment the importance of networking with others and above all being of service to others. And nobody would object when I would send them a job posting. And I did that, gosh, Mark, for almost a decade before it had become a part-time job. And that's when 10 years ago I turned it into a business. So when your revenue depends on the sale of job listings and the unemployment rate goes from 3.5% in 1 month to in some places 15% or higher the next month, it has a big, big effect on your revenue. And so we've been dealing with that since March. And I know we're going to talk about what has happened on a daily basis and the steps we've taken to address it. I would say one thing that makes our job board different from many other great sites out there is our commitment to helping job seekers learn how to get good at job hunting as a skill. And as you know, and I know you talk about this a lot on your show, many positions, if not the majority, get filled by referrals and through word of mouth. And you should visit sites like mine, and I'm proud of the value we offer, but you've also got to get really good at job hunting as a skill, no matter where you are in your career, if you want to see all the available jobs out there. And we also help employers learn how to get better at hiring because our typical customer is a small company or nonprofit. And hiring is an infrequent event, and it's usually assigned to somebody who's not trained in managing a hiring process, doesn't have formal instruction on how to write an effective job post. So we provide content to both employers and job seekers to help them get good at their respective sets of skills, because our mission is to help make hiring more human. And there's so much frustration, as you know, on both sides with the hiring process.
This pandemic hit. First thing I want to ask you is, how have you dealt with this emotionally?
It's been challenging. I know it's challenging for everybody because all of our daily routines overnight changed dramatically. Those of us who were working in offices within the course of a week or two found that we couldn't go to those places. And then we had to learn how to work remotely, and the hobbies and social activities that we all enjoy suddenly became unavailable. You can't, you know, for me, I love going to movies. I like meeting people, friends for lunch. Being cut off from all those things suddenly, it's very challenging emotionally. And then when you're dealing with whether you're working for a company or you own a bit small business as I do, you're dealing with a whole new set of challenges. You might be facing a layoff or a furlough if you're an employee, or if you're an owner, you're trying to keep the lights on and keep people employed because you don't want to lose your team. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just listening to a Wall Street Journal podcast talking about a business that essentially provided fruit to offices. And this guy had been in business for 22 years. He had 100-plus employees. And it was emotionally really, really tough because they were like family to him.
It is hard, yeah. And I think you have to recognize that, and you got to think about the things that you can do to help manage that stress and those demands, and help you begin to at least replace some of those lost connections, because we're human beings. We all thrive on connections with others, and to have them suddenly sharply curtailed overnight that's really tough.
Yeah, my first tech startup, we were acquired by Lucent, and I was on the team that was choosing who got laid off next. And I went, I don't want to do this. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, in your position of having employees and then suddenly going, okay, we have a downturn, what do I do?
Nobody wants to make those choices. And for me personally, the way I've approached the events of the last 4 months, 5 months now, where we did see a dramatic drop in revenue. At one point, it was 80%. Now it's about 65% compared to where we were in January. You know, we followed a three strategies, Mark. The first was to try to get every government dollar we could. And so we were successful in getting a Paycheck Protection Program loan. And that allowed us to avoid layoffs for an 8-week period. We also got some small grants from the Small Business Administration. Getting that money was challenging, but I also recognize we were very fortunate and privileged because we were one of those small businesses that checked off all the things that allowed people to get money immediately. We had an existing relationship with a bank. We had a line of credit open, so we had a loan. I'd met the banker. He'd actually been to my house to get me to sign the papers when I first opened my account. And I had his cell phone number. So those kinds of things helped. The second thing that we did was we looked at controlling our costs. And so renegotiated my lease. I've got 3 years to go on it. I was very fortunate. My landlord could have just said, nope, a contract's a contract. But my landlord worked with me, and we moved from a 2,000 square foot space to a 200 square foot space. I still have the same number of employees, Mark, but we're working, except for me, who goes to the office occasionally, working 100% virtually. And the third thing we're doing is looking for ways to find new revenue. And we haven't cut back on our marketing because we know that you got to invest in the future. So those three steps have so far allowed us to avoid layoffs. Did have to furlough our staff. There are four of us, including me, and we're all working 60% now, 2 days a week less. But again, my goal here is to keep the team together and avoid layoffs as long as we can. And I think we can for the next quarter or two, because your people are your most valuable asset.
If I remember correctly, you got some kind of involved in some kind of furlough program with the state of Oregon?
We did. And again, I'm in Portland, Oregon. The state employment department here offers a program. It's called WorkShare Oregon. And if you have three or more employees, that you can participate, and you can furlough them either 1 or 2 days a week. But you have to maintain health insurance and retirement benefits. So the benefit to the employee, and again, nobody wants to lose a day or 2 days of work, but this allows them to stay on the payroll and collect their benefits, and it reduces costs for the employer, which allows them to avoid having to make the kind of choices you were just describing a moment ago, because if you furlough isn't a possibility, then your only option is layoffs. And then you have to make a choice that, again, nobody wants to make. While people are participating in this program, they can file for unemployment benefits for the 1 or 2 days a week they're furloughed. And for a brief time right now in the United States, in some cases, you might replace all of your lost wages and salaries because of a temporary $600 a week benefit that expires July 31st. Nobody knows what's going to happen after that. Nobody likes to be on collecting unemployment, but this is better than being laid off. Because as we both know, when you're laid off from a job, it can take months or a year or two to recover. And often the job that you get after that doesn't pay as well as the one you lost.
Well, particularly keeping health insurance in this time, and you know, particularly both Mac and I are both over 60, going out and buying insurance on the open market is really pricey.
It's expensive, and the products in the United States tend to get worse every year that goes by. So again, if the often the best case is the best thing you want to do is hold on to what you got. And so programs like the one you and I were just discussing, Workshare Oregon, allow you to do that. It allows an employer to keep their workers and allows workers to avoid, you know, a layoff, which again is an economic catastrophe.
So what are you seeing in the people who are giving you or purchasing job ads? Are they coming from specific industries or kind of jobs, or what's the trends are you seeing?
I'm glad you brought this up, because I talk to job seekers who often will say, well, I'm not doing a search right now because things are awful. What's the point? And things are awful. There is right now probably a 14% unemployment rate, but employers are still hiring. So we went from having 225 listings a week, Mark, to now maybe 75. It's not great, but every week we get new jobs. In terms of trends, we've always served smaller employers. Both nonprofits make up about 45% of our business. The private sector, the remainder. Well, government is in there as well, but it's probably about 10%. The sectors that we serve are continuing to hire. What's changed is it's taking longer. There's less eagerness to get out there with postings, and employers, because of the unemployment rate, don't feel the rush to attract candidates they did in January and February before the pandemic arrived.
Are you seeing much of a change in remote work and what people, that was the right word, that they are going to allow people to work remotely forever? Or are they thinking, oh, I want to hire remote, well, for the time being?
Well, the big change, of course, is that most hiring we see with our customers is happening virtually. And again, we serve professional employers who are hiring people for white-collar jobs. And those application processes are happening online, and then the interviews themselves, and even the onboarding once an offer is made, is happening virtually as well. I think that among the employers we talk to, there's a lot of uncertainty about what the workplace is going to look like in 2021. Events just change so rapidly, Mark. I think in the spring, employers thought that most workers would be back in their cubicles and their private offices sometime in the late summer. That's not going to happen. It'll happen someday, but whether it happens this fall or even the fall seems unlikely. When it will happen is uncertain. And then I think the other thing that we're all seeing is that the pandemic is teaching us that you can work remotely and you can do it effectively and productively. You do have to learn a whole new set of skills as a supervisor and as an employee. And you also need new processes and equipment. So it's a learning curve, but it's happening right now. And it's an amazing experiment, because we've been talking about remote work in the United States for several decades, and it's always been on the fringes, at least for big employers. Freelancers have been doing it in increasing numbers, but now it's happening everywhere. And I think once the bar door is open like this, it's going to be difficult to get people back to the way it was in January.
2 weeks ago from when we recorded this podcast, I did an episode of what I'm seeing. And then I have two HR consultants who came in last week. That was David Hewitt and Gary O'Neill, and saying what they're seeing. And one of the things that I keep on hearing over and over again is, yeah, we're hiring remote right now, but when this is all over, we'll bring everybody back in. Oh, but by the way, we're giving up all our lease space. So, you're going to bring everybody back in. It's going to be a lot harder than you think.
I also think that among workers, there's a reluctance to return to offices, and that's going to persist even after we have an effective vaccine. I don't know that it will stay exactly the way it is now. I think there probably will be some new hybrid arrangement where people do go to the work place once or twice a week. But I think that so many workers now who had supervisors who said, oh, that's impossible, we can't support remote work, that's completely changed.
How do you see MaxList going forward? Are you enthusiastic? What's going through your head as you look towards the future?
Well, we're very enthusiastic. I am, and my team, about the future of MaxList, because there's always a need for a online community that can help people not only find great jobs, but learn how to get better at job hunting as a skill and how to get better at hiring if you're looking for candidates. So whether those people, the successful candidates, work in an office or work remotely or some combination, there are going to be plenty of jobs in the future, and there's going to be a role for a site like ours that is different than your generic job board. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those sites, but I think you got to adapt and you got to evolve. And I think also another reason we're optimistic, Mark, is because we faced some tough challenges in the last 4 months, and we've adapted. We don't have all the answers, and I'll be the first to admit I've made many mistakes, but we've made choices and we've taken action, and we're paying our bills, we're serving our customers, we're serving our community, and we're still here, and we're going to be here for a long time.
So as the business owner, are you really only working part-time?
I'm not. I'm working a full week and then a little more. But while I'm in Portland, Oregon, I lived on the East Coast for 11 years, and so I love the quality of life in Oregon, and I came here because of that. Lived and worked in Washington, D.C., and Boston, Massachusetts. And after I got out of grad school in Boston, you know, half my classmates went to New York. I could have done that too, but, you know, you would have been working crazy 70-80-hour weeks. So by East Coast standards, it might seem part-time working 45, 50 hours a week. Certainly by Oregon standards, I'm working more than most, but it's, you got to have balance. And it's hard, Mark. I try not to look at the computer on the weekend. I try not to catch up on the emails after 5 or 6 o'clock. And, you know, I'm always lapsing, but I'm working on it.
Well, the reason I have a blog post out there I wrote several years ago called "I Work for a Jerk." Oh, I work for me. as a solopreneur, as you know, as a business owner, you know, I joke my boss knows when I'm slacking. My boss knows when I'm faking being sick, you know,
I try to work on that. I've never actually shared this with my staff. I don't know if they'll be listening, but. One of the things I do is if I'm sending an email at 7 or 8, or it's on a Saturday or Sunday, I schedule it so it doesn't go out until 8:15 on Monday morning. Because if you start emailing your team late at night or on the weekends, you're creating this expectation that they're going to get back to you, whether you mean it or not.
Yeah. So how will MaxList, your business, how will it look different after this pandemic is over?
Well, the big change, of course, is that we're virtual. And we had always worked at home on Fridays, so that created a great foundation, Mark, for operating remotely. It led to us creating business processes and procedures so that we knew how to handle things when people weren't at the office on Fridays and were working from their homes. And it I think, also contributed to our company culture. So we're comfortable with this. I think companies that had never had a work-at-home day as a company, that had to be so much harder for them in March and April. I think some other changes, we're looking at diversifying our revenue sources, and we're looking at partnerships with job coaches, resume writers, book authors, to create what professionally are called affiliate relationships and a new stream of income. We've always had those relationships, but they've always been ad hoc, and we want to get more serious about that. And then I think the other thing that we're looking at is getting much more strategic about our marketing. And I'm proud of our marketing program, but we've started our first outbound sales program 18 months ago. And there's so many opportunities to connect our marketing to our outbound sales program in a constructive, positive way that serves our community. And I'm excited about making those connections.
Yeah, one of the things I've been saying is those companies that adapt will thrive, and those that do not will die. And because this pandemic is touching everything. And so let me ask you this. How have you changed having gone through this?
Well, I think in three ways, Mark. One, I believe I've become I make decisions faster. And I don't think I've been indecisive, but it reminds me of working on a political campaign, and I have a long history before I started my own business of working in politics. And I bring up the campaign example because when you're a couple days out from the election, you're just making decisions like this all the time. And that's what pandemic time is like. I think that it has helped me strengthen that skill. The second way I've changed is it's led me to take a second, third, or fourth look at our business processes and look for improvements and efficiencies and better ways of delivering services and serving our customers and our community. Because if you're looking for ways to cut costs, you can do it in two ways. You can just pick an arbitrary number and just start canceling things, or you can think about the communities and the customers you serve and how you can do that better with less. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think we're continuing to survive and thrive. And the third way I think it's changed me, Mark, is it's reminded me of an old lesson, which is your company is only good as the people you have working for it. And so, again, you talked about that meeting at the start of our conversation, and there's so many of those meetings happening where people are getting together in conference rooms and they've been given a target, a number of people to lay off, and nobody wants to do that. And I know the people in those rooms don't want to do it either. And the reason they don't want to do it is because they also have learned the lesson that has been reinforced for me. Your people are your best assets, and you got to hold on to them as long as you can. Because if you want to recover and thrive and grow, you don't want all that knowledge and expertise to go out the door.
Well, even more important, these are people you've gotten to know. And when you suddenly take away their livelihood, wow.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that, and nobody wants to have that happen to themselves. So, and so I think every manager, every owner wants to find a way to avoid that.
Mac, this has been a great discussion, and I wanted to have this discussion because I know you've got a really good attitude, and I know these last few months have been really hard, but you are going to survive.
We are, and it's not just me, Mark. I mean, it's the company is made up of a great team, and we have a great community that's been supportive, and our customers, we get great feedback and support from them as well. So to me, I think when you're in a situation like this, you've got to acknowledge the circumstances you're in, and then you got to come up with a plan to address how you're going to go forward. And it might not be the best plan, but you got to put it out there and start acting on it, and you'll get feedback. And I'm grateful for the feedback I've gotten from my team, because it's made our plan better and our company stronger. And I think that whether it's a pandemic or some other tough situation in the future, that's an approach that is always going to be effective.
Well, Mac, if someone wanted to reach out and touch you virtually, got to keep on talking, I can't reach out and touch you. How might they do that?
Two ways, Mark. One, I encourage people to connect with me on LinkedIn and just add a quick one-sentence note saying, I heard you on Mark's show and would love to connect online. And that helps me understand, and I think that where you're coming from, and that's always a good practice when you're sending out LinkedIn invitations. And then second, I encourage people to check out my weekly podcast. You mentioned it earlier, Find Your Dream Job. You can download it wherever you get your podcasts, or just go to our website, maxlist.org/podcasts.
Well, Mac, this has been great. I've been looking forward to this conversation. So thank you very much for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Well, thank you, Mark. And thank you for everything you do, both with your show, your books, and your website. You offer such great service. So thanks.
Well, Mac, coming from you, as I said, the legend, I very much appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. I wanted to hear about Mac's journey as a small business owner on getting through this pandemic. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. Come back next week when I interview the other Mark Miller. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-189. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, and Pandora. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills too.
All treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.